call this work session of Savannah County Board of Supervisors to order. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. And today we'll be hearing from the nonprofit presentations. Folks, we have 14 on the topic today. We ask you to be eloquent. Just remember, we got 14, but hey, don't want to cut y'all short. Trust me. I want to hear everything you say, but there are 14 of them. So I will begin. Somebody won the lottery today. Go get a ticket. Piedmont Housing Alliance, Ms. Virginia.
Motions.
No, actually, we bumped them to the top. Sorry. Sorry. The agendas in front of you are correct.
I'll start. Ms. Virginia Leary.
Hi.
Please join us at the witness chair.
Thank you. I've not been to one of these before, so bear with me.
That's not a problem. Oh, okay.
And if you just click the left mouse,
oh,
it'll advance.
So Piedmont Housing Alliance is a HUD-approved housing counseling agency. Our request was for our comprehensive housing counseling services. We are 35 years serving Planning District 10, so City of Charlottesville, Albemarle, Nelson, Fluvanna, Louisa, and Greene counties. If someone's having a hard time paying their monthly mortgage payment, their mortgage servicer has to refer them to a HUD-approved housing counseling agency. That is us for this area. In addition to that, we provide first-time home buying counseling. We have down payment loan programs that we serve Fluvanna County with. We have group education for credit and budgeting and debating whether renting or buying is right for you. Our counselors sit down and take a look at the whole picture from start to finish with these folks. So far, we've helped 947 households purchase their first house, some with down payment money. We've provided $11.5 million in down payment assistance. We have developed 64 single-family homes, and we currently manage 410 affordable units. And we've provided 4,700 clients with financial education and a path to economic self-sufficiency. For Fluvanna County, that means for FY17-18, 29 Fluvanna residents, and 22 of those were with counseling for either foreclosure, credit, or home purchase, 7 for group education, and 34 for other services or outcomes. This year, so this is speaking since July 1 of 2018, we've helped 2 clients access down payment assistance totaling $21,043. Coming up in 2019, we're looking at several financial education workshops. We have a home buyer club that we've started recently that we look to have one specific to Fluvanna County. We're also providing a CAR, so Charlottesville Area Association of Realtors, CE class to help real estate agents understand how to help low-income home buyers become homeowners. We have down payment assistance available for Fluvanna County, and we also have a rental accessibility modification program where someone who's renting that has a disability that needs assistance making a modification to their unit, we have up to $6,000 in grant money to provide for that service. We also are a provider of reverse mortgage counseling for Fluvanna County. These are some of our Fluvanna home buyers. And we appreciate the support and thank you for having us here. If you have further questions, you can reach us at our main number or my email at vleary@piedmonthousing.org.
All right, any questions?
Do you come to Flavanna to give your first home buyers meeting? So they have to come to classes, or do they have to come to town?
We're in the process of scheduling those, and so we're doing outreach to the counties. We don't have anything in the books for that yet.
Okay, thank you.
Do you actually build homes, or you help buy existing homes?
We help buy existing homes. We did at one point build homes, and right now we're not doing that. We do partner with Women Always Housing Foundation as well. We've partnered with them a few times with the home buyers that have purchased their homes with down payment assistance.
Habitat, do you partner with Habitat?
Yes. Okay. One of the two mentioned in the slideshow was a Habitat homeowner.
Thank you so very much.
Thank
appreciate you,
you
coming out.
Good
sir.
Job. First.
Absolutely.
And we'll miss Michelle. You know her. Flavanna.
Yeah, Flavanna.
Yeah. Michelle
Flavanna. Oh, yeah. Next will be Central Virginia Small Business Development Center, Betty Hope.
Hi.
Hello.
It's
how are you
always
doing?
Nice to be back in the heart of Virginia.
Nice day.
Even when it's not Valentine's Day. So, as you've already announced, I'm Betty Hogue. I'm the director of the Central Virginia Small Business Development Center. A quick review about us. Our mission is to enhance the economic vitality of our region through effective client-oriented counseling, business information, and training. We have, as our service area, the city of Charlottesville and the six counties immediately surrounding that, including, of course, Flavanna County. We serve primarily small and mid-sized businesses, loosely defined as those with less than 100 employees. Our sweet spot is actually businesses with less than 20 employees, and that's actually most of the businesses in Flavanna County. We serve both existing businesses and aspiring entrepreneurs. Our current clientele is about 60% established businesses and about 40% aspiring entrepreneurs or startups. We provide three basic types of services: no-cost business advising, including here in, most of that takes place in our Charlottesville office, but we do make a business advisor available here in Flavanna County at least one day a month, so that makes it a little bit easier on those businesses here. Low-cost training, and then access to resources. I do want to point out that two of my business advisors who live here in Flavanna County are with me today to make sure I don't screw it up. So, some information about the services that we've provided in 2018. I have information for the first three quarters. We're still kind of putting together the information from the last quarter. For those first three quarters, we served a total of 150 distinct clients, 11 of those from Flavanna County, in 410 sessions, 28 of those for Flavanna County clients, 569 total hours of counseling, 28 hours of that for Flavanna County clients. We also held 55 training sessions, with 401 people attending, and 28 of those were from Flavanna County. So you have a handout from me that is worded, has slide one, at the top. The slide I have on the screen right now is just the first four columns of that. Just to be able to show you what the breakdown is, first of all, from the different localities that we serve, where our funding has come from in the past, actually the most recent past, calendar year 18. The SBDC operates on the calendar year. And then the breakdown of services provided from counseling and training for those different localities. We have a unique situation with funding for this upcoming year. Steve Nichols, along with all of the county executives and economic development directors from our service area, met with the executive board for our host, the Central Virginia Partnership for Economic Development, in the spring of 2018, and agreed with the partnership's executive committee that the financial support of the SBDC should shift from the partnership to the localities. In a subsequent meeting with me, those same city and county officials suggested that the capital required for the SBDC to meet our requirement of match for federal dollars and to continue to provide the current level of services should be assessed to the localities on a per capita basis. On that handout that says side one, you see in the last two columns there is a list of the percentage of total population for my service area, starting with Fluvanna County, and then at the per capita rate that we calculated, that would be 35 cents per capita, what that new adjustment financial support would be. As you can see, there are quite a few of those funding requests that would jump rather substantially. In making this suggestion of moving to a per capita assessment, these city and county officials also suggested that no locality be assessed for lower than they had been asked previously, and that when the increase was rather substantial, that we stage that over a couple of years. So if you turn then onto side two, you will see a little different arrangement. The column that had shown those rather substantial jumps has been slid over to the very right-hand side. And in the middle, you'll see the intermediate requests that we're asking to try to stage those requests, along with not only Fluvanna County, but all of the other localities that we serve as well. So our ask for fiscal year 20 from Fluvanna County is $7,750. You have another handout there that shows a map of Virginia and shows the Small Business Development Center locations around the state. We currently have 27 centers. The Central Virginia SBDC is the one with the red dot in the middle of the blue. Our ask for this year represents an increase, as I've already described to you. And I believe that the support for the services of the SBDC are valued, and that the localities are going to come through with that support for us. And I don't want to use any scare tactics, but I do want you to understand that the SBDC serves at the pleasure and the support of the locality. If this funding shift from the partnership to the localities doesn't occur, in other words, if there isn't sufficient local support to continue funding and championing the Central Virginia SBDC, it likely will close, and the federal funds currently associated to this office will be distributed among the other SBDCs in the state. That just recently happened the year before last with the SBDC in Richmond. If that were to happen, then Fluvanna businesses would have to travel to an SBDC, probably either in Lynchburg, Farmville, or Harrisonburg. Again, I don't want that to happen. I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't mean it as a scare tactic. I just want you to know that that's how it works. On a much brighter side, you have another handout there that shows some of the results of SBDCs across the state of Virginia. On the left-hand side, it shows the amounts of services provided in the years 2012 through 2016. When this survey is done, it surveys clients from 2 years and before, so that's why the data is not any more recent than it is. On the upper right-hand side, shows some demographics of those clients. You can look at all that stuff later. What I want you to zero in on is the lower right-hand corner that shows that in 2015 specifically, for every dollar invested in an SBDC, there was a return on that investment in the form of federal and state taxes of $2.39. It's a pretty good return on investment. Maybe even more important, here in the state of Virginia, employment growth in 2015 for the average Virginia business was 1.5%. For the average business that received SBDC counseling, it was 32.1%. For the average business in Virginia, sales growth was 2.7%. For the average business receiving SBDC counseling, it was 18.5%. We're focused on helping these businesses achieve success, and that's what we really care about. So I've asked a few of our Fluvanna County clients to take just a minute and speak to you about their experiences with the SBDC and whether or not they think our services are valuable. So I first would like you to meet Amy Myers from Local Eats. Amy? Open the microphone so
I can take it. Hi, good afternoon. My name is Amy Myers. I own Local Eats here in Fluvanna. And SBDCs worked diligently with me when I was opening my business. They helped me understand the leases, how to write a business plan, where to look for funding. They know the knowledge, the resources of who to contact when or if I had a question. They have the ability to research the demographics in my area, tell me, assess what kind of products I want to sell in my store, if it would sell out here. The SBDC is a valuable asset to Fluvanna County. And I fully support them, and I hope you guys keep supporting SBDC.
Just stay here. Next, we have Tracy Williams from Jefferson Pharmacy.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us here. Just a couple of things I'd like to say about the SBDC. They sent in, I got to know them first through the Chamber of Commerce at a lunch and learn, and they sent in a retail specialist to the pharmacy to help us and give us suggestions on things that would, things like lighting and social media and stuff like that. So one of those things is it's crucial for small businesses, especially in a rural county like this, to have support from the SBDC. And we just appreciate you listening to all of us today. Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
And then Jim Toms from Papa Jim's Soft Serve.
Yeah, I only wish that I knew about them 7 years ago. When I opened Papa Jim's in October of 2011, I really wished I would have known about you guys. I think I found out about you about 3 or 4 years ago in a seminar that y'all had at the Catholic Church, or somebody had over at the Catholic Church. But they really helped me out with a business loan to purchase another machine. Those machines are very expensive. And at the time that we got the loan, we only had one machine, and it had about 4 or 5 years of life on it. And as I was telling somebody, the cost of a machine is like $16,000 to $18,000 in today's market. But if that machine went out in the middle of July on a Thursday, and you couldn't get a tech guy there to Monday or Tuesday or whatever to get the thing fixed, you could almost pay for a third of one of those machines in lost business. If you only have one machine, no business. So I think they do a great job. They always send you. I've learned that I need to do more on the internet with advertising and marketing and things like that. My business was down last year due to the lot to the rain. We were down about 11% from the previous year. But we're rolling along, and hopefully we're going to open up again sometime in March. But I think they're a great bunch of guys, and it's a nice support thing to know that you've got somebody there. And I would highly recommend that the county any county, if they've got this program in there, maybe suggest or give a brochure to an entrepreneur who walks into, like I did in the basement of the building over there, and the first person I met was Mr. Tugwell. And maybe, you know, if you've got a hand in the information about these folks, it might have sent me on a path in a different direction than the one that I took. So, thank you.
It's good to work on the marketing. I had also invited Terry Brown from Mailbox Express. Terry was very disappointed that he wasn't able to come today. He was leaving earlier today on a personal trip. But he did ask me to tell you that he has been very pleased with the work that we've done with him, that he totally supports the SBDC and thinks you should too, and said that you can follow up with him later on to make sure that's what he really said, if you'd like to do that. So that's my spiel. I'm happy to answer any questions. I'm sure Steve can fill in some of the blanks on the change in funding as well. I'll answer questions now or later, whichever you would like.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
Mr. Garcia, Louisiana County Chamber of Commerce.
Thanks. Hello, everybody. How are you?
How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. So lots of stuff going on in the chamber. We recently had a strategic planning session, and we have adopted a new vision, growing every business. You'll see that on all of our material from now. Steve was kind enough to come and talk to us about what was going on in the county, which really got us kick-started. So most people don't realize that the chamber has been around since 1956. For those of you who've been in the county a while, we've had periods of dormancy and periods of vibrancy. Right now, I would say we're in a period of vibrancy. We've got a lot of things going on in the county. Got a lot of county businesses involved in the chamber. So last year, with a part-time, half-time employee, we did about 35 different events within the county. Everything from networking breakfast, after-hours events, lunch and learns, and ribbon-cutting ceremonies. We actually do ribbon cutting ceremonies for any business in the county that opens, whether they're a chamber member or not. If they contact us, we'll schedule it. Last year, we reached out a little bit further in our advocacy work on the meals tax agenda. We worked with the Commissioner of Revenue, and we held three different seminars where we invited county citizens in to talk about the impact of the meals tax. We also, those of you who remember Bill Hughes, the Chamber Board adopted a memorial scholarship for him. So we did a couple of events last year that went directly towards funding that memorial scholarship. He was a really strong supporter of business in the community and just a really good citizen of the community. We added the Senior Resource Directory to the Chamber Guide. That has been well received. We started a restaurant week where we contacted local chamber businesses who were restaurants, and we promoted them and we drove business into their restaurants over the course of that week. We've been producing a bi-weekly newsletter that goes out. It's called News You Can Use. So it goes out to all of our chamber members and anybody else who's signed up for the newsletter. They'll get that. As you guys know, I'm a real big believer in cross-fertilizing from one organization to another. And so we've been very intentional on our chamber board of encouraging our board members to serve in other capacities within the county. So we have two board members who are currently serving on EDTAC, one on EDA. We have a previous EDTAC member, James River Water Authority member, served on both boards as well. We believe in partnership with the county, and so the County Economic Development Coordinator has an ex officio seat on our board. So they're welcome to attend all of our board meetings. The only time that they're not true board members is when we call for a vote. Let's see, we had board members here at the Planning Commission meetings, And one of the things we did was we worked with the Planning Commission on the rezoning for the by right use of studios and homes in the A1 district. This year, as in last year, we'd like to increase the guide from 5,000 to 7,500 copies. It is one of the primary ways that the county communicates with the citizens of the county. It cost us about $9,000 to design and produce that. We also plan to continue our lunch and learn topics. The first one is actually in February. We'd love to see some of y'all there. We're going to have a panel of local businesses come in and talk to the assembled group about what they have done to be successful within Savannah County. And you see on there a couple of other topics that we've asked the community that they would be interested in. As I said, we just held our strategic planning retreat, and we identified three big rock goals. Yes, Steve, I stole that straight from you. Promote, educate, and connect. So everything we do this year is going to be focused around those three things. Our 2019 mission is to become a place where businesses want to connect. Based on those goals, we plan to have a local business expo. We want to increase attendance at our events between 20% and 30%. And we want to tighten our partnership with the Economic Development Coordinator as soon as you guys hire one, which I know is coming soon. If we had the resources, we would update the Chamber website to make it more user-friendly. It is inadequate to our needs and severely out of date. We'd also update our Chamber database management from the current one we're using, which is extremely un-user-friendly, to a newer version called Chamber Master. And we would hire a full-time executive director. I think we could be much more effective if we had somebody who was dedicated full-time to going out and helping businesses grow. So, subject to your questions, that's all I have.
Yeah, lunch to learn. When is that in
February 13th. And we are going to be doing it, I believe, at the library.
And what did you say? You had some topics from lunch.
Yes, so the first one is meet the businesses of Savannah. Okay. So we're going to bring in a panel of businesses.
I was interested in that one and something about
aging gracefully.
I'm trying.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure where that one's going to be or when that one's going to be.
Please let me know when that one is.
we'll send a car for you.
I thought that was gracefully ageless, right?
Make sure you notify because the brain is... thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Hospice of the Piedmont, Adam Winter.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
My name is Adam Wagner. I serve as the Associate Director of Organizational Advancement for Hospice of the Piedmont. I'm here today to share with you all the impact of support to our organization and what that has given to Flavanna County residents in the past fiscal year, and what we hope it can give to Flavanna County residents in the next fiscal year. Last year, Hospice of the Piedmont cared for 98 Flavanna County patients and their families. Our nurses traveled to their homes, to their assisted living facilities, and if necessary, we placed them into our inpatient care centers to provide them comfortable, dignified, and peaceful spaces. Every single patient who medically qualified for hospice care received care regardless of their ability to pay. In addition to our clinical hospice care that we provided to our patients and families, we also served the bereaved in Flavanna County as well. 210 adults and 17 children were provided expert grief counseling and expressive therapy from our highly trained counselors and therapists at absolutely no charge to them. For many of those patients, this type of therapy would not be accessible to them due to economic circumstances. Here is just one story of a Flavanna County resident who benefited and was personally impacted by our programs last year. 7-year-old Grace came into our care after her father passed away suddenly due to a tragic circumstance. While Grace did not physically see her father's death, It was a sudden loss, and she was experiencing intense grief surrounding the death of her father. She became non-communicative and would not speak to anyone, including her teachers, parents, or family. With little resources and no ability to help Grace, her family grew very desperate. In an effort to return to normal, they sent her back to school. Because of their financial position, private therapy was out of the question, so her mother and her grandparents spoke to her school counselor, hoping that she could provide a resource for her. Thankfully, Hospice of the Piedmont Center for Children has a strong relationship with Grace's elementary school, and her counselor knew exactly where to send her. She was referred by her school counselor to one of our expert children's expressive art therapists at no cost to the family. At their first meeting, our expressive art therapist tried to speak to Grace about the event and witnessed Grace's panic attack and her refusal to talk. Anytime her father was brought up, she would just start crying. Our Journeys program, that is the Center for Children, focused on giving Grace expressive and healthy ways to share her pain. And through those visits, she was able to finally start to express some of her emotions around her father's death. Over the course of 55 visits with Grace, either at our offices in Charlottesville or at her school, over the 18 months since her father's death, she developed a strong bond with her art therapist, and slowly she was able to start to speak about her father. While she would still get upset, she built the skills necessary to be able to share her feelings and remember her father. Grace's family was so grateful to be able to share memories of her father with her and credits their ability to grieve as a family to the care she received from Hospice of the Piedmont Center for Children. Thanks to the individual support Grace received from Hospice of the Piedmont, she has progressed to the point where she no longer requires individual sessions, and she can now join her peers in group activities and group therapy sessions. This story represents the impact of Hospice on the Piedmont of just one child. Last year, there were 16 other children that had experiences like Grace in Flavanna County. All of our bereavement services, including those that helped Grace, relied solely on the support of community partners like the Flavanna County Board of Supervisors. Without the continued support of our philanthropic partners, stories like Grace's would not be possible. I humbly ask your support for Hospice of the Piedmont in our effort to help more children like Grace and everyone in Flavanna County facing the end of life or grieving the loss of a loved one. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
I just learned something. I didn't know that you all had a center for children.
Yes, ma'am, we do. Yes.
I really did.
We serve.
And that's not only when you're grieving because your loved one died because of cancer or whatever it is.
Correct.
Anything.
Yeah.
Any kind of grief that a child is suffering.
Yes. So our Center for Children has several full-time therapists, and one of the services, we have a response team called GIST, which focuses specifically on crisis intervention. So I think last year in Buckingham County, there was a tragic accident where some kindergartners were hit by a truck. Our GIST team went into that school, spoke with the students, spoke with the teachers, spoke with the principal, spoke with parents, and spoke with the truck driver. And provided to them crisis intervention management support. And all of that programming in our bereavement support services is funded by outside philanthropy and support. None of that is reimbursed by private insurance or Medicaid or Medicare.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know. I didn't know that.
I would suggest one more group that you check on. The first responders who showed up, stuff like that.
Oh, yes. Oh, the fire department. That's right. We were present with the first responders as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jefferson Area Board of Aging, Ms. Donna Baker.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hospice is tough to follow. My name is Donna Baker. I'm the Director for Operations at the Jefferson Area Board for Aging. Thanks for having us here today. I'd like to share greetings from Marta Kane. You're used to seeing her bright and shiny face, but she couldn't make it today, but wanted me to send her regards. I'd also like to take the opportunity to thank Steve Nichols. The news is out. He's leaving, retiring. But just wanted to thank him for his support of seniors in the community. His understanding and positive direction certainly has given us the opportunity to work more closely with your Parks and Rec, providing services across Louisiana. So thank you for that. As you know, JAVA provides supports and services for seniors and their families that run the gamut from independent seniors who are aging gracefully, it's booger, to those needing 24-hour support. We've been serving Planning District 10 since 1975 for 43 years. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because I gave you one of our service guides. Some of you know more than others. If you don't need it, I would ask that you share it with somebody who does, because I'm sure you know somebody who does. I do want to take the opportunity. One of the other handouts we gave you was our Caregivers Toolkit. This is new for us, and it is a guide for folks who are really struggling with trying to figure out what to do for themselves or with family members. This is just one of the things that JAVA can provide to people who are really struggling with decisions around aging. So again, you may not need it, but I bet someone you know does. So take an opportunity to look at that. Your support is vital in the efforts to support, to sustain Louisiana seniors. We truly look at this as a partnership. The money that we request, and we're not asking for an increase this year, that's good to hear. But the money we request helps us with the money that we bring in from state, federal, and fundraising resources, provide supports and services to the 4,710 seniors you have living in Louisiana County. I provided some statistics for you. As I mentioned, 4,700 people in Louisiana are over the age of 65. That's almost 18% of your population. In 20 years, one of the things that we're all looking forward to is when seniors will make up almost 25% of the population, not only in Louisiana, but in Central Virginia. That means some changes for the way folks are living their lives and the way we provide services. Last fiscal year, JAVA served 910 people, seniors and their families, which was about 20% of the seniors in the county. I've included a breakdown of how seniors were served through our community centers, home delivered meals, options counseling. But I did want to note, because I looked back at some older materials when I was planning this, we've almost doubled the number of people we've served in Louisiana just since 2012. And I wanted to highlight that because we've had really successful increases in our information and assistance and options counseling and our insurance counseling and getting out into the community and providing services for people who might have a simple question or really need help digging into what a Medicare Part D program looks like. We continue to partner with, and we're proud to partner with, the Louisiana County Parks and Recreation, supporting the weekly community center program in Fort Union and the three additional pop-up sites in Cunningham, Kent Store, and Beaver Dam Baptist Church. It's in Troy. I knew. I pass it every day on the way to work. While the numbers that I give you and the support, it's broken down by Louisiana County, I just want to give you an example of how one of your community members actually received services in Louisa. He needs adult care. So he attends the adult care center in Louisa Monday through Friday, and it's an important service for him and his family as he's legally blind. Although he's legally blind, he's the biggest builder of models, which is always interesting. I don't know how he does it, but he does. So we keep him supplied with that. And also had the best painting when we had a guest painter come in. He's pretty amazing. Also quite the flirt with the staff on site. But being able to support him Monday through Friday allows his family members who help him with his care the rest of the time maintain their own life roles. So it's really important for us to be able to continue to provide the sheer variety of services that we do. I just want to thank you for your service to the community, your service to everybody in Fluvanna, and I'm certainly willing to answer any questions.
Do you have any questions?
So when will we have over 18% of people 65 years old? What year is that predicted?
It's about 2025. It's 17.8% right now.
Okay. And so in
the year 2040, okay, it will be, it's like 24.9% according to Weldon Cooper.
Okay.
So it is growing.
Thank you very much.
Great, thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Jefferson Area Chip, John Nafziger.
Great to be with you this afternoon. Thank you for your time and for your service. Now I stole my thunder a little bit. I wanted to express to my thanks to Steve, and it is a delight to work with you. Hopefully this won't be the last time. So as I think all of you know, Chip works in the areas of promoting child and family health and positive parenting, family self-sufficiency for pregnant women and moms with young kids. I'm not going to share more details in terms of our services. I'm happy to answer questions, but I think you all are familiar with that. So just a few updates to let you know what we've been up to this year. First, our board chair for the year is Val Palamountain, who's similar, all of you may know, who's a Fluvanna resident and dean of workforce services at PVCC. We're delighted to have Val serving in that capacity. We've been in our Zion Crossroads office for about 18 months now. We combined our Fluvanna and Louisa offices. That continues to work really well for us and provide a lot of stability and support for staff. Our Fluvanna County staff is the same, Ruth Ann Earhart and Terry Lamb, who have both been with us over 10 years, so we're really delighted to have that continuity in working with families long-term. We really focused in the past year on outreach in Fluvanna County, reaching more families. In fiscal year 18, we saw an increase of 14% in terms of enrollment. For year-to-date, so the last 6 months, we've actually seen an increase of 70%, 70. So there's a lot of demand. We're excited about the families we're reaching and our services for Fluvanna County. We continue to work closely with social services and the Interagency Council and other community partners. And finally, we are intending this year to create a Fluvanna County Advisory Committee. We have some board members, but we'd like to have more input and feedback from the county. So if any of you have suggestions, ideas of people that are really interested in health and services for children and families, we would welcome those suggestions. So again, on behalf of the children and families we work with, our thanks to the board and the county for your support in making our services possible. I'm happy to answer any questions. Or not.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. Next, Monticello Area Community Action Agency, MACA, Peter Holmes.
Good evening. My name is Peter Hawes. I'm the Senior Program Director over at MACA. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. I want to just say a few words about each of our program areas and some of the outcomes that we're able to achieve. And then I also want to ask my colleague, Bertha Armstrong, who is our Director of Outreach in Fluvanna County, to just say a few words about her excellent work here as well. So our mission at MACA is to improve the lives of people with low income by helping them become self-reliant, thereby enhancing the economic vitality and well-being of our community. As you probably know, we have a long history in the community. We were established in 1965 as a community action agency. And as a recipient of the federal funds associated with that program, our work is held to really high standards of accountability, performance measurement, and relevance to local needs. So in addition to the data that we collect on our own programs and services, some of which I'll share briefly right now, we also conduct a comprehensive community needs assessment covering the entire community that we serve and all the whole range of needs that people might be facing. We published our most recent needs assessment in October of 2018, and that's on our website, if you'd like to take a look. It includes a section specifically on Fluvanna County. We're led by a tripartite board of directors made up of our stakeholders, so that includes local government appointees, at-large members, and also representatives of the low-income communities that we serve. We're really proud that our board reflects the community and also serves the community. And I wanted to mention that also because we have an open seat for the Fluvanna County representative, and a member of our board will make a formal request for an appointment to that seat. So the funding that we received from Fluvanna County, about $50,000 last year, is really critical to our work. And so I really, the biggest takeaway I want to leave you with is our appreciation for that support. We really couldn't do it without those funds. It's really critical because it allows us to leverage resources from many other sources, including those federal grants, which require a significant local match. With that funding, we were able to serve in Fluvanna County more than 500 individuals and more than 280 families last year. And those are just the figures of those people who are formally recorded as clients. We actually interact with a much larger number of people through a wide range of services. And the types of things that we're able to provide include early education for the whole school year for low-income children, college campus visits and scholarships for students who are the first in their family to attend college, and the prevention of evictions and utility disconnections, which enables families to remain safely in their own homes. So by leveraging other resources, we're able to provide those services at a cost to the county of less than $100 per beneficiary. So it's, I think, a good return on investment. So our Head Start program is a comprehensive early childhood development program. It focuses on the entire family, and I wanted to mention one example of that, which is that our family advocate team has recently partnered with the Network to Work program at Piedmont Virginia Community College. So they are now working on counseling families through the process of improving their employment credentials and getting a better job and moving down that path towards self-sufficiency. We have 20 students enrolled currently in Fluvanna County in Head Start. Last year, our students in Head Start improved by 75% across the 6 learning domains that we measure, and the growth was especially high in both literacy and mathematics. So our focus is really on preparing students to be ready educationally, physically, and socially to be successful in school. So that includes things like access to medical care, nutrition, free meals during the school day, and really anything else that the family might need. Our second program is Project Discovery, which is a college access program for first-generation students. So we work with 9th through 12th graders in Fluvanna County High School, and we provide a wide range of services and support throughout their 4 years in high school, and especially during their senior year, to try to get them enrolled in a best-fit school depending on their interests and needs. In FY18, 7 students from Fluvanna County attended campus visits through our program, which we provide free of charge to students. We have an upcoming trip to Atlanta to visit campuses there. And we also provide a number of workshops at the school on topics like financial aid, academic skills, personal development, and other topics. We had 120 attendances at our workshops in FY18. We found that Project Discovery students are much more likely to attend college than students in similar demographics who are not participants. 90% of our graduating seniors enrolled in college last year, compared to about 60% for low-income first-generation students across Virginia. And in Fluvanna County, it was 12 out of 13 seniors enrolled in college. And the last program that we operate in Fluvanna County is our Rural Outreach Program. So Rural Outreach works individually with clients to resolve a financial crisis, avoid eviction, and avoid utility disconnections, as well as to gain access to critical needs like food or medicine or other things that might be needed. We partner really closely with the Fluvanna Christian Service Society as well as other churches and other members of the community, and also operate a thrift shop, and we administer the Dominion Energy Share Program for utility assistance as well. One thing I wanted to highlight is that there have been recent studies showing that about 40% of Americans have virtually zero emergency savings. So a financial crisis really can happen to almost anyone. And the problem is especially serious right now because of rising housing costs. In Fluvanna County, 1/4 of families are considered housing cost burdened, which means they pay more than 30% of their income on rent, which leaves little room for savings and often leads to getting behind on bills, which can then lead to a sudden financial crisis. Our program provides a form of targeted assistance. So the average payment is about $250 per client. And for that limited amount of money, we're often able to allow the family to then remain in their home, maintain heating and cooling, and avoid sacrificing other necessities such as food, medicine, or clothing. And about 40% of the beneficiaries of that program are children as well. So each of these programs has a long history of serving the community, and we work really hard to make sure that they are operating both effectively and efficiently and targeting areas of really important need. We are asking for an increase in funding this year of about $7,000 in order to strengthen our programs and also to provide those matching funds for federal grants. In the past, our local funding hasn't been sufficient to meet the full amount of the match, and we've had to dig through other sources to get that funds. And going forward, we're asking each locality that we operate in to come closer to meeting the full amount of that match. So that's where that number comes from. And I wanted to mention that amount, that increase is just $14 more per beneficiary of our services. So with that, I want to thank you for the opportunity. I'd like to turn it over to Mrs. Bertha Armstrong, but I'll answer any questions that you have.
You said that you help as much as $250 a month on rent. Is that right?
That figure covers, that's the average across our both our rent and utility assistance programs.
And how much then would that house rent for?
Like what would their
what, rent what would be the house value then?
I'm
just sort of curious at what level you are.
I don't have an answer to that question. I don't have data on that. I could get back to you with an answer, though.
That's all right.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It would just depend on the individual client situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you all follow the Head Start children over a long period of time to see their success?
We do not track their progress.
Maybe schools do. I don't know. That would be...
Yeah. You know, the biggest challenge there is that the educational data is often confidential, and so it's hard for us to get access to it. Mm-hmm. But there have been a lot of really good national studies of Head Start that do track it over time and have shown really promising success, not only in elementary school, but even later in life as adults of the impact.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
All right. Yeah. I would like to say that each time for the last several years that I've come up here, I've come up with a new supervisor.
You are glasses, don't you, Bertha?
But really, I would like to just talk about our new food pantry that we have in Fluvanna now, and thank the board. Thank you all very much for working with us to get that established, and it's doing well. And on the other note, we saw you leaving, Steve, because we know you had our back. And make sure that we got the services that was truly needed to help the citizens in this county. And thank you very much. I would like to just talk about, we were talking about the food pantry, but we also, we have, through that food pantry, we have partnered with Greenwood with the school system, where we do help them with the food, the backpacks that they took home to the kids from school. And he came by today and said that is going good. And he also stated that we will be working on some other projects to see exactly what we can do during the summer months. So when the kids are out of school, to see what we could do to help there, which works really well. We do, of course, as Peter said, we work with crisis, with families financially, and you asked a question about more rent. Mm-hmm. I can give you an example of a family that walked into my office today, a family of five. The husband is, he works seasonal work, and the wife works as a waitress, and they are buying their home. And they came in to ask for food. And so, being who I am and what I'm about and what I'm supposed to be about, I started talking to the family. I found that that family was not just in the need of food, their water bill was delinquent. Thanks to social services, their electric bill had a $45 plus, and they also had a $3,000 mortgage, back mortgage statement. And I'm saying to them, I said, and that mortgage wasn't that much. And I said, well, your mortgage is delinquent. I said, you didn't ask about help for that. And of course, they let us know that they didn't know we did that.
Okay.
So I talked to them about the mortgage. I work with that family today. We call the mortgage company, and we are able to work with them for as effective. Hopefully, in a couple of days, their mortgage will not be in foreclosure anymore, because they're allowing us to come up with the monies to help them, which will be like $2,000. But thanks to Fluvanna County and the churches and the FCSS, we are able to raise that type of money to bail this family out from losing their home. And then after talking to a little Mo, she had a paper laying there, which was a subpoena to go to court. And that was due to a credit card. And I said, what's this? And she said, it's a card. She has a credit card. And I said, have you called them? No. So we got on the phone and we called them. Mm-hmm. So we also got that, so that is to the point where if they go to court, they can show that they are paying it, and they will not be, their salaries will not be, whatever you call it.
A garnished.
Mm-hmm. And those are the type of things that we do from day to day to work with the families. The needs are out there, and we try to do the most that we can to help. Of course, Dominion helps us with gives us monies where we're able to pay families' utility bills, and we keep families from losing services and to keep them from freezing this time of the year. And we also work as far as the Fluvanna Christian Service Society. They offer a lot of services to this county. They did the Happy Face. I want to talk to Happy Face. Mm-hmm. Because at Happy Face this year, it was over 100 and some families there, which was quite, was like 300 some children. All of those children was able to get a new coat, thanks to the Knights of Columbus. Mm-hmm. And all of them got new pajamas, thanks to a new pajama program that came about that someone mentioned to me. They should never tell me anything like that, because if they do, I'm going for it. And I got with them in national, it's a national pajama program out here that served the families in Fluvanna County. And this was the first year that all of the families came to that setting.
Yes.
Because it was something that they offered. They offered new toys for the kids, and they offered new coats, and they offered pajamas. And those are the things that takes place in the county that makes it work for this county. And we thank you for your support.
Food you gave and to the fans, new bikes.
They had new bikes. They had it was just wonderful. But we just want to thank you all for all you do. And I have lots of stories I could tell, but I don't want to stand up here that long to tell them. But we would like for you all to consider us in your funding.
And I would just like to know, were you with MACA in 1965?
I've been in community action for 53 years now.
You started when you were four?
I wish.
Very smooth. Hey, but the one thing I was going to say was, you came up and said, you know, this is my third director in 3 years.
Well, I think they send them down here because they know you're going to do such a good job of training them.
But
you're in good hands.
But see, my problem is, I love Fluvanna. And I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, like some people stand up in the church and they say, well, you know, I'm not ashamed to say I love the. I'm not ashamed to say I love Fluvanna County because I don't down Fluvanna, and you're not gonna mess with Fluvanna because but if I have an issue, I'll come to who the issue's about. It's not about destroying the county. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the positives I have. And I've had it since I started working with Community Action in 1968.
Beautiful
job. Yes. Beautiful. And I love it, and I'll be here. And the worst day, people ask me, when are you going to retire? I said, it had no business putting a handicap ramp over that office.
Thank you. Piedmont Virginia Community College, Kim McManus.
Oh, boy.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me here.
Good afternoon.
Have a supporter here with me. I think you all know.
Coming up, but never seen him before.
Never seen him before.
No.
Well, we don't get to see him enough. No. I'm here. I'm Kim McManus, Vice President of Finance Administration at Piedmont Virginia Community College, and I'm happy for the opportunity to come here and thank you for all the previous support and the ongoing support that you do give us. I know you're familiar with what we do, but I thought I'd share with you just a little bit of, this is last year's numbers, not our current year's, but of who we're serving here in your county. 807 total residents that are doing about 3% of your population. So we have a lot of dual enrollment. I know that really benefits the students and the families out here are getting a head start on college and learning to apply themselves at college level. And
13.
13 courses at Fluvanna.
13 courses at Fluvanna, four courses at Fork Union. You know, there's 211 students, 28 students at Fork Union. Distance learning, a lot of folks are getting on board with that here. 611 enrollments, almost 290 folks taking 107 courses, a great opportunity for them.
Online, quite a few.
Yeah.
That's all. That was the online, about 190 folks doing that. At the Fluvanna Correctional Center for Women, we're really proud to be there. We have 71 students there in 25 different courses, covering 300, almost 400 enrollments. We're glad to be able to continue doing that. Workforce development students, you know, non-credit students, learning something leading directly to a job, 352 in the past year. And so
they have to come on campus.
Not all of them happen on campus. Some of the places like welding and things are off campus, but that is something that we provide that's not distance learning that I'm speaking of when I'm talking about the workforce. But yeah, I'm here, as I said, to thank you for the continued support and ask again for our local funding for our annual operating budget, the $7,595,000 we're asking for this year. And again, we're asking for the capital funding for the Advanced Technology Center. We appreciate the contribution toward that. So that's a total of $50,000 we're asking for this year.
How long does that ATC funding last?
That's a three-year ask for a total, $43,000 times three is $123,000.
This is our third year coming up, I think.
It's a total of $129,000. So we're excited.
It's our third year coming up because we did it fiscal year 18, 19, and 20 is the last year.
Right. And we are in.
That'll be some more cash flow.
Exactly.
There you go. We are in detailed planning now. We have the architects on board and have started planning. It'll be a year before the General Assembly will consider construction funding for the project. So we look to be open in 2000, 22. But we're really, really excited about it. It's really going to provide your citizens a great place to learn as we develop in our cyber security programs, advanced manufacturing programs there. And it'll also have a component for student life in the building too. So, as again, I said, I want to thank you. Look forward to continued support, and I'm ready to answer any questions that you may have. And Mr. Gallo does have something to contribute.
Let me inquire, how much was the state funding on that? How much did they give? And then all the other counties actually gave a percentage that was prorated, as I recall.
The state, it's a $20 million building.
Okay.
And the college is putting up 25% of it. So we're doing that through philanthropy.
Right.
And stuff. And then there's another, is the portion that's called site work that the localities contribute. And we're soliciting $1 million from all the counties. Mm-hmm. And your portion based right. on per capita enrollment is $129,000. So yeah, towards that $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
So thank
much.
You.
Thank you. Mr. Weaver, if I can follow up on that, there's a strange wrinkle. And that is that the state pays for the building, but everything 5 feet and out from the building has to be paid from other sources, namely the localities. So it's the sidewalks, the parking lot, the curbing, the lighting. So that's the localities'
responsibility.
Uh-huh. So, and this Advanced Technology Center is for cutting edge education. This is not basket weaving. This is not surfing. Okay. This is high tech employment. And to give you an idea, I brought you the Virginia Placement Test for Mathematics.
Ooh.
Now, please keep in mind that if you have a high school diploma or a GED, you are admitted to Piedmont Virginia Community College. Mm-hmm. Staying there is up to you.
Right.
We do everything we possibly yes. can to help you. I was kind enough to leave the answer sheet attached to each of these.
Bless
you. Thank you very much.
All right, I'm going to take that as soon as
I see you have a lot of confidence in us.
I'll hand it to my son and say, here you go, buddy. Thank y'all so much. And I can personally say it's been a blessing because my son finished up there 2 years ago, and come Miss May, hopefully he'll be walking across whatever they walk across at UVA. Yeah, we'll see.
It's a great place.
So that'll take care of Piedmont Virginia Community College. Region 10, Aisha Williams Cassana.
Well, I'm not her.
Well, good. And I don't know whether I blew it or not.
Well, Aisha. And she will Aisha. Be speaking English.
Yeah.
Was that close?
Yeah,
I was in the ballpark.
I am Marcia Becker. I am the Senior Director of Rural Services for Region 10. And I just have a few brief remarks before I turn it over to Aisha. As Aisha is the director of the Flavanna Clinic and can tell you much more about the services that we offer here at Region 10. I've been involved with the Flavanna Clinic for 31 years, but compared to Bertha, I guess I'm just getting started. First, I'd like to thank you all for your support of Region 10, honoring the requests that we've made over the years. It really does enable us to provide additional services that are very expensive to provide, like psychiatric prescribing and outpatient counseling for children and adults. So we really do appreciate it, and it definitely goes to good use. Region 10 will be facing some challenges this coming year. You may or may not know that Medicaid expansion, part of the funds for that are coming out of the state funds that have previously gone to CSBs. So we are losing some funds this year and even more funds the following year. The thought was that we might be able to recoup some of those. However, we are finding that most of the people we serve are not the ones that are eligible for Medicaid expansion. So we're watching that very carefully. In addition, all of our behavioral health services went into the care program starting January 1. And I can tell you we find it very difficult to maneuver, and so our Medicaid dollars are down this year as well. So we are asking for a very small increase in funding based on the formula that the state provides. I'm hopeful that you all will be able to increase that funding. I think it's a little around $7,000 that would be very helpful for us as we face these financial challenges this year. So that's really all that I have to say. Aisha really has the best report about all the wonderful services that we provide. So I will turn it over to Aisha at this point.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you again, as Marcia said, for your ongoing support of Region 10. As she said, I'm the director of Region 10's clinic here in Fluvanna County. We've been fortunate to be able to provide a number of great services to the community, both in the schools and out of our clinic. We currently have 11 full-time staff that are at the schools providing therapeutic day treatment to students ranging from pre-K all the way up to 12th grade. This service provides support in helping students learn skills for managing symptoms related to their mental health issues, as well as students that have challenges with social skills and behavioral concerns. Our staff are there to provide coaching and monitoring and support and education to them around those issues. At our clinic, we currently have three full-time mental health case managers that provide support coordination to assist individuals in gaining access to needed medical, psychiatric, social, and other services. We also provide case management services to those with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The service also provides support and assistance to our ID and DD members of the community in accessing needed services and supports essential to keep them living in the community and developing his or her desired lifestyle. We have two full-time outpatient therapists that are able to provide counseling for mental health and substance use disorders, as well as crisis intervention. Treatment is offered on an individual and group basis for those that require that level of care. And we also provide psychiatric evaluations and medication management services through telemedicine. So that we have a prescriber that's in Charlottesville, but our people here in Fluvanna can just come to our clinic and meet with that person basically through Skype. They have the option to meet with that person in person in Charlottesville, but obviously for most of them it's more convenient for them to just come to our clinic here.
And you say you do it through Skype?
It's kind of like Skype. No, it's not. Skype. It's more secure than Skype.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay.
It's on a video screen, video monitor. Those are the services that we provide. I look forward to continuing our partnership with the community and collaborating with everyone on the best ways that we can continue to serve the community members. If anyone has any questions, I'll try to
answer. You're 11 therapeutic people. Do they serve more than one student?
Yes, they do.
Several?
They do. A typical full caseload would be six students. As of right now, most of them have around five. Some may have a little bit more than that. We currently are serving around 70 students.
Do they have to move between the schools?
No.
Good.
We do not do that. We know that some agencies do that, but when someone's at the school, that's where they are all day so that they're available to the students if they need them.
Yeah. Work them often.
Yes.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a hard job. They do a great job.
Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ravana Conservation Alliance, Lisa Wittenborn.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Lisa Winhorn. I'm the new program director with the Urbana Conservation Alliance. I'm here with my colleagues, Julia Ila and Rachel Pence back there. They're our monitoring managers, so if you have very technical questions, you can direct them behind me. I would like to thank you for having us here tonight to talk to you about our water quality monitoring programs. The Ravenna Conservation Alliance was formed in 2016 by a merger between two organizations, the Ravenna Conservation Society, which was actually founded here in Fluvanna County in 1990, and Streamwatch. So our organization has had long ties to Fluvanna. Our vision is a healthy, thriving community that values its rivers and streams. And our mission is to protect the Ravenna River through a number of programs, including our water quality monitoring program.
Just left off.
Oh. We work within the Ravenna watershed, which is the area of land that drains to the Ravenna River. So if precipitation falls anywhere in the Ravenna watershed and it runs off, it will ultimately make its way into the Ravenna River and flow out into the James down at Columbia. The watershed is comprised mostly of areas in Greene County, Albemarle County, the city of Charlottesville, and Fluvanna County. And the Ravenna watershed is actually nested within the greater Chesapeake Bay watershed. So what we do here with our water impacts the James River and also the Chesapeake Bay. Our RCN engages in a number of activities to support our mission. We do a lot of educational programming with public schools. We do outreach programs. I don't know if any of you remember getting an email from me in the fall about the aerial flyover watershed tours that we do. I will be sending them back out again soon. We're going to schedule those again in the spring. It's a wonderful opportunity to get to see the watershed from the sky. You really can see what's going on the ground in a way that you just can't imagine otherwise. We also have a river kiosk at some of the boat landings up and down the river with educational information. We have a river stewards program. We have two guys who go out on a weekly basis by boat and make sure that everything in the river is clean and safe. And when they discover problems, we work with local governments to remedy those. The picture that you're seeing here is actually our board chair, Bob Troy, and Jamie Beadle from the Lake Monticello Water Rescue Team. I don't know if you remember the big debris pile that was at the Crofton Boat Launching Bridge this past summer. We were involved in elevating that issue in the public eye and getting VDOT to actually come in and clean that up. We also do river cleanups, and we work on river safety and recreation issues. We have conservation programs. We're doing a lot of projects this year coming up where we're installing rain gardens, doing buffer plantings with schools, things like that. We also own the Shire Natural Area, which is in Fluvanna County. It's a 100-acre property open to the public where we have 3 miles of trails. We're just completing our education center, and we have public workshops there. And then we have our Level 3 water quality monitoring program. So right now we have two Level 3 programs. The first one focuses on benthic macroinvertebrates, which is kind of a mouthful, but basically they are just little organisms that live at the bottoms of streams and rivers, and they tell us a lot about water quality because some of them are sensitive to pollution and some of them tolerate pollution. So when we go out and take a sample and we look at what types and numbers of organisms we're finding in our nets, they tell us if the water is polluted or not. And not just a snapshot that day, but over time, because the community takes time to build up and to thrive. So we actually sample 50 different sites throughout the watershed in the spring and fall. So we do 100 benthic samples, primarily using volunteer help. We also do bacteria monitoring. It's our new Level 3 program this year. Our volunteers go out and take samples for E. coli bacteria. If you've been following the news and all the lettuce recalls, you know that E. coli is not something you want to be exposed to. But unfortunately, it is in our waters sometimes, especially in urban areas. It comes largely from waste from humans and animals. So we sample 14 sites monthly, and two sites where we see a lot of recreational use on the river, we sample weekly during the summer so we can alert the public if there are any public health issues they need to know about. We have 13 monitoring sites in Fluvanna County. 12 of them are benthic sites and one bacteria site at Crofton. I keep talking about level three monitoring, so let me explain what that means. Volunteer monitoring groups can be certified at different levels of scientific rigor, and the highest level is level three. At level three, we are basically collecting data in the same way that government scientists would collect the data, and our data, because of that, are interchangeable with government collected data. So DEQ, EPA can use RCA data just like their own scientists collected it for all types of decision-making purposes. And RCA is actually the only nonprofit in Virginia to have that level three status for both our benthic and bacteria programs. And we've been told we're the only ones in the Chesapeake Bay. I can't confirm that, but we believe we are. Oops, I went too far.
Got it.
Thank you. So why does all of this matter? We're hearing a lot of amazing information about programs in the community helping individuals in our community. Our program is really about helping the entire community. Everybody who lives here is dependent on us having clean water. We alert recreational users of the rivers, like I said, about E. coli levels. We train our volunteers who come from all over the watershed with scientific skills to work in our lab, work in the field. We engage a lot of people in the community in caring for the river, and in doing those things, we're really protecting what is a regional, natural, and economic asset for our area. We also provide services to local governments, such as yourself. We can identify pollution hotspots that need to be investigated. We help guide water resource planning and decision-making processes with our data. We help evaluate Virginia's progress towards meeting the Chesapeake Bay goals. We assist DEQ and EPA in assessing water quality and identifying streams that might be impaired and in need of cleanup plans. Those cleanup plans have a funny name, total maximum daily loads, TMDLs. We participate in those processes to make sure that the plans are based on good scientific data. So for this past year, a couple highlights from our program. This was our first year using the level three techniques for bacteria monitoring, so we had to retrain all of our volunteers to make sure that they were following the quality control procedures that we need them to use for our data to be certified. And we completed our first year of sampling at that level, which was a very tricky year to sample with the high water, so it was interesting, but we were successful. We contributed essential data to both the Cunningham Creek and the new North Fork Rivanna TMDL processes that are happening. Our bacteria monitors actually detected several sewer line leaks in and around Charlottesville. They found very high levels of bacteria, spikes, and then we were able to alert the authorities, and they would trace those back to sewer line leaks and were able to repair those. We combined and upgraded our laboratory spaces into one new location that's right along the Rivanna River in Charlottesville. And our organization actually won the USDA NRCS Virginia and Southeast Regional Earth Team Awards for Outstanding Volunteer Group. So goals for this upcoming year, we intend to add 4 new bacteria sites, and we're very open to adding sites in Fluvanna County if there are any particular locations that would be of benefit to you all as you're thinking through water resource planning. We're going to be conducting habitat assessments at 25 of our benthic sites. These give us a richer picture of what's going on in those locations in terms of the riparian areas and the physical structure of the stream. Our science advisory committee is actually going to be using our benthic data to do a long-term trend analysis. Our data goes back 15 years in most cases, so we now have collected enough to see over time what's really happening in the watershed with our stream health. We are establishing a new level three program this year focused on some physical and chemical water quality parameters, pH, dissolved oxygen, and conductivity, so that'll just enrich the picture we have of water quality here. And we are going to be using our monitoring data to help identify areas that really need water quality improvements and then supplying that information to local governments who can take action. So we want to thank you for your ongoing support of clean water in our organization over time. Let us know if you have any questions.
Yeah. That was a helicopter tour, was it?
It's an airplane, a small plane.
Oh, okay.
Holds 4 passengers.
And where did it take off?
We take off at Charlottesville Airport.
Oh, okay. Over there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a wonderful program. It's the volunteer pilots. They use their own planes, and we get to tell them where to fly if there are particular things that you want to look at, and you can take all the pictures in the world that you want. It's really amazing.
Very good. Yeah.
The ones since last fall were canceled because of the weather, but I, when I took mine 5 years ago, it was fantastic help to be able to see everything from the overhead and gave me a better understanding. And just for the boards of information, RCA's funding request is incorporated in TJPDC's dollars because the Thomas Jefferson Plan District Commission is the fiscal agent for RCA. And so there's not a separate line in the budget request. And if you look at the details of the TJPDC one, it'll list RCA's dollars.
They used to be done, didn't they?
Yes, they used to be separated out, but the Thomas Jefferson Plan District Commission as the fiscal agent now has the dollars rolled in there. So
it's very good, and I think it's a great program.
She isn't aware of that.
Is it
separate?
It
should be separate.
That's the Ravenna River Conservation, the Ravenna, the RRC.
That's the RRBC. That
they're on the board. Oh, they,
got it, sorry. Wrong one. Okay.
The, so that is news to me.
The
Ravenna River people.
Commission. What's your relationship with the Ravenna River Basin Commission?
The Basin Commission.
Basin Commission.
We participate.
And I know we get this information. What is?
So we're separate groups. We're a nonprofit organization,
right.
But we do participate in activities
right.
with the Basin Commission
yeah.
and serve on their committees. And
yeah, that. I've been on that committee so long, and I'm still lost.
I'm still trying to figure out why we have two different organizations.
Is it y'all or is it the other group that does the boat tour we've been trying to
that's,
do?
That's the Ravenna Basin Commission.
They want to take a boat trip, like
right.
a canoe trip or kayak trip. We've been canceled the last 3 years.
I did that with bad weather 6 years ago with down the river.
Every time they have the weathers, you know, they have a conference. It just mm-hmm. never works out. So.
Very good.
Any questions?
Thank you so much. Sarah, the Sexual Assault Resource Agency, Sherry Owen.
How is everyone?
Fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm Sherry Owen, and I'm the outreach director for Sarah. Usually, Becky Wainwright, our executive director, would be here, but I'm sitting in for her tonight as she sends her wishes to everyone. Thank you. So the Sexual Assault Resource Agency, or SARA, we've been around for over 40 years, and we represent the Planning District 10, as everyone else says that we've heard tonight, of which Flavanna is a big part of it. You know, as we were looking at our last two, three fiscal calendar years, our services and our clients have really increased from Flavanna. One of the things that we do is that we accompany survivors to the emergency room. We are on call 24 hours a day. We have a 24-hour hotline that we staff. And we were looking at our numbers over the last couple of years. And in 2016, we had six clients, the advocacy clients that we saw from Flavanna. And in 2019, we have 19. Now, we're sitting here looking, why is this happening? What is this trend? Is it because things are happening more? I don't think so at all. I think the key is that also in 2016, we participated in two outreach activities. And in this past calendar year, we participated in 25 activities. So I think our awareness is out there. And I think people are much more aware of the services that we provide. And we've also coupled and worked very closely in collaboration with the Commonwealth Attorney's Office, and we've actually trained all of the law enforcement officers in Flavanna on how to be trauma-informed and how to work with survivors. We've developed a quick reference guide that they actually carry with them on their person in their pocket so that if they get called to a sexual assault, which it doesn't happen all the time, thank goodness, then they actually know how to communicate and how to talk with the survivor and how to work with the survivor. And I think because of that, because they're more trauma-informed, because the outreach activities in Flavanna are so much more prevalent, I think that's why people are utilizing our services more, and we really appreciate that. And again, we really appreciate the funding that we get from you all. We've also started a women's empowerment group in the prison at Flavanna, which has been widely successful. We're working specifically with the reentry group. So it's the group of women that are within 6 months of getting out We work very closely with them. We work and give them resources in Flavanna, resources in Charlottesville, resources anywhere that they need to go once they do get out. So that's basically all that I wanted to tell you. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you so
thank
very
you
much.
So
we
much.
Do appreciate it. Sir Kev, Lauren Mason.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak with you. So you'll notice the white shiny folders, those are from SERCAP. And thank you for the opportunity to let me introduce SERCAP to you. It stands for Southeast Rural Community Assistance Project. And we are a 7-state regional organization, but we were founded in Virginia, and Virginia is still our home, and we serve all 95 counties here in Virginia, including Flavanna County. And in the folder is a story about one of our most recent projects that we completed here in Flavanna. Back in the fall, we finished an indoor plumbing and rehabilitation house here in Flavanna County, where we invested over $100,000. However, if you are familiar with the indoor plumbing and rehabilitation program that's funded through DHCD, the Department of Housing and Community Development at the state level, the costs for each house that the state allows are remaining static, but the costs that the contractors need in order to successfully build the homes to the required housing quality standards are increasing. And so we had to piece together many different sources in order to complete the specific project here in Flavanna County. And that is just one of the over 9,000 occupied residences across the Commonwealth of Virginia that does not have complete indoor plumbing, meaning that they don't have a toilet in the household. Or if there is a toilet, there is not a functioning septic system or connection to a public sewer line allowing that toilet to be functional if there is one in existence. So what SERCAP does is our mission is to improve the quality of life for low-income individuals by promoting affordable water and wastewater facilities, community development, environmental health, and economic self-sufficiency. We do this by providing training, technical, and financial assistance both to rural communities and to low-income individuals for water, wastewater, and community development issues. The funding that we have requested would specifically support two programs. Our Facilities Development Grant Program, which allows both public and private water systems that would, in this case, systems that serve Flavanna County, to approach us if they need funding for projects that can range from the pump for the water system work, and they need to get funding to replace the pump, to getting funding for a professional engineering report to build an entirely new water or wastewater treatment facility. The other program that these funds would support would be the Essential and Critical Needs Program, which focuses on small grants to low-income individuals, especially those who are having difficulty with their wells or septic systems, or need connection fees to public water or sewer systems. So we have done work in Flavanna County in the past, and we hope to continue to provide services in the future, and this would simply, any funding provided to us would support additional work here in Flavanna County and help us to leverage additional funds. We receive a large amount of federal grants through USDA Rural Development and EPA especially, and from the Virginia General Assembly. But because we serve all 95 counties in the Commonwealth of Virginia, the number of services we provide in each county county are dependent upon both the funds available and the services requested. So in addition to your financial support, we are always looking to build our partnerships across the Commonwealth with county offices, boards of supervisors, departments of health, social services for referrals. So if you hear of an individual or system that needs assistance with access to water and wastewater services, then if you would refer them to CERCAP, we would be happy to see if we can help them. And if we cannot help them, hopefully we can refer them to somebody who can. Thank you.
Do you have a card?
My name is Lauren Mason, so okay. That should be on the sheet.
This,
and then in the folder, and I do apologize for I should have put cards in the folder. However, at the top of the sheet, it should have our contact information. The phone number should be sort of on that masthead on the top of the sheet.
Do you work with Andy Crocker?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
All right, good. Okay,
thank you. Oh, that's wonderful that you know Andy, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
My husband was on that board for 25 years, but I've been working with Andy trying to get some work done for some families here in Fluvanna, mm-hmm. trying to get you all to partner with Fluvanna, Louisa Housing. And it's a slow process. That's why I said I want your numbers.
And if you turn the folder over, our website is on the back, so you can always find the phone number on the website.
Okay.
But yeah, no, our phone number, it might be very small print,
right.
Which I do apologize for.
Okay.
But it is on the two sheets in
always good to know one more person.
Yes, ma'am.
You know?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank
what
you.
Kind of money would you get in federal funding?
Are you talking dollar amounts?
Yes.
Our annual budget is approximately $5 million, and the majority of that is federal. Well, I would say $3.5 to $4 million of that is federal grant funding. We do get almost $1 million from the Commonwealth of Virginia. But we do get support from individual counties, and because of the number of funding sources that we have, our finance office is very adept at earmarking funds for specific localities. We know that if we get money from Fluvanna, it stays in Fluvanna. We get money from Louisa, it stays in Louisa. We get money from Virginia, it stays here, whereas we get money from North Carolina or South Carolina, it stays in those states.
Where do you say you're located?
We're located in Roanoke, Virginia.
Okay.
So that's where our main headquarters office is located. But our field staff, like Mr. Crocker, they travel all across the Commonwealth. So if there are any issues here and somebody needs to come and look at that issue to determine what kind of assistance can be given, we have no problem doing.
The home that you, you actually rebuilt the entire home here in Fluvanna.
The one that we just finished, yes, we did a substantial reconstruction because sometimes either the house, if the roof is leaking and the foundation is crumbling, it's actually less expensive to demo the existing house. We provide a rental assistance or support to the family so they have a place to stay while the new house is being built.
Mm-hmm.
And also DHCD requires, they don't want a situation where if say there were a tornado, that the only thing left standing is the brand new bathroom was built and the rest of the house fell down. I know it sounds kind of funny, but that's part of DHCD's requirement. And they monitor that program very carefully.
Now, how did that individual, that man, locate you? Or
I'm not 100% certain. I do apologize for not knowing that answer. I can find out and I can get back with you. But as I said, we get a lot of referrals from health departments or social services. Sometimes other smaller nonprofits will know that we're the water people and we help with those. Also, if you go on to the
DHCD website, they list the IPR providers for Virginia, and so we're listed as one of those providers.
Yeah, he told us that his father had bought the 2 acres, I think it was 1960, wasn't it?
Along that, yes, sir. That's right.
Was it $40?
$40 an acre, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. The gentleman that when I was down at the convention told me the story, but I can't remember. Mm-hmm. It was, I think it was a, kind of a happenstance type deal. Somebody, he said something to somebody about, they found out he was in trouble, and they said, these are folks we need to call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that happens a lot. So just the more opportunity we have to inform everybody about the services we provide, the more likely they'll connect to somebody who needs the services.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thomas Jefferson Soil and Water Conservation District, Ann Coates.
How are you all doing this evening?
Good.
Doing fine.
How are you doing?
You're the last one on your agenda, I believe.
Yeah.
So,
we've got one more.
One more? All right. Well, then we're not together. I do have some handouts for you all. Copy of our annual report. And then we put together a snapshot of some of the work that we've done in just Louisiana County. And on the back of it, it's a kind of a giant business card. So it includes all of our staff members and all of our board members. Have two board members with me tonight, John Easter and Tom Prattley, who is the chair of our board, and John Easter has been the treasurer of our board for a number of years as well, so they're both here, and I think you all know them. Mm-hmm. And if you have any questions for them, feel free to stop me at any point as well, but hopefully I'll be able to answer everything. And then is it a left click?
Yes.
Okay. So many of you are familiar with conservation districts. They were formed in the 1930s, of course. Here locally, in our district, we were formed in 1939. We primarily are made up of, as you all know, of Nelson County, Albemarle County, Fluvanna, and Louisa, and the city of Charlottesville was added a few years ago. We're a self-governed subdivision of the state, which contains one or more localities, and of course we're authorized through the Code of Virginia. We're governed by a locally elected board of directors. There are 3,000 in the United States, 47 in Virginia, and it covers 98% of the land in the United States. Our partnerships are very important to us, including yours. It helps us to leverage local resources so that we can match those with many others who presented tonight with state and federal funding. So, there we go. Again, we have five localities. There are three board members on our board from Fluvanna. Angus Murdoch is not here tonight, but he is also a board member from Fluvanna. On the back of the postcard size includes their staff names and contact information so that at any time you will do want to reach out to them and ask them about specific programs, you'll have their contact information handy. We do, as I said, rely on many state funding, including the Department of Conservation is primarily where we get our funding, and then of course localities, and then we rely heavily on grants, and that covers our staff time. One of our primary focuses is water quality. Sounds like there are a couple others in the room tonight who are, this is a near and dear subject, so we're one of those groups too that also work on water quality. Of course, conservation districts have primarily focused on agriculture. That's where our traditional roots were, and it came from the Dust Bowl era, from the Roosevelt time period. But from that, we've evolved to cover soil and water resources. So we really look at a wide depth of resource issues. Water quality is related to soil health as well, and so the farming community is a big part of that. In FY18, we had total agricultural cost share projects completed. This included stream exclusion as well as cover crops. We had five completed, and a total of $145,000 went out directly to farmers to pay for those. Of course, that helps support our local contractors for fencing and for the installation of those cover crops. So it does also support local jobs as well as helps the farmers' bottom line. The projects that we have under construction already this year, we've got two totaling $186,000. So we've got seen an increase just this year already. This is sort of a 10-year trend. We've helped to protect 17 miles of stream over the last 10 years, and we've delivered over $1 million, I believe it's about $1.1 million this year, or since last year, in cost share dollars directly to Fluviana residents, farmers. Before I go to that real quick, just to talk one more thing about the agricultural program. The state just called us last night and let us know that the Thomas Jefferson Soil and Water Conservation District was ranked in the top 10 conservation districts in the state, and we're in the middle range, they said. They haven't given us the exact number, but our understanding is that they're expecting us to be able to deliver the most, the highest number of nutrient reductions. So 10 districts in the state they're going to be targeting, which hopefully that's going to be more funding for us. And that money that comes to us will go directly to farmers. So we encourage you all to reach out to us, to reach out to the farmers you know, so that we can make sure that your landowners are eligible for that funding. And it's primarily funding that's going to go directly to the landowner. It does not cover 100% of our staff time. And that's why we rely so heavily on the support from your ordinance. So our septic program, it did work. There we go. The septic program that you've also heard a little bit about tonight. Over the last 10 years, we've had 15 projects totaling $17,000 in payments. This year alone, and you'll see, I think, on the postcard, we already have $12,000 approved for this year. So that number's going to increase dramatically. That funding does come from the Department of Environmental Quality, and those are grants, and we do have to provide a match for that. We also have a residential program that helps to focus on impervious surface removal, rain gardens, bioretention. We've had 8 projects totaling $11,000 in cost share in Fluviana. And I think it's important to note that in addition to the $11,000, the landowners themselves provided $9,000 in landowner match. So there's a commitment from your residents as well to want to install these projects. The education program is something that we've been very strong and very proud of. On the postcard also, you'll see that we had over 477, I think it's around 500, including adults, but K through 12 students participated in conservation education programs for your Earth Day and Farm Days and those events. And so that's been a very strong program for us. And I believe that they also did quite a bit of tree planting this year, wildflower planting, and then sold a number of rain gardens. I think they had a tailgate out at Lake Monticello. We did a workshop for Lake Monticello residents on rain gardens specifically, and I think we had over 40 participants show up for that. So that was very successful. One of the other programs that the Conservation District has a strong history of in the last 10 to 15 years is reviewing erosion and sediment control programs, as well as the stormwater management programs. We do stormwater review for all the projects at UVA, so we have highly technical staff trained and certified to do that. We also have staff that reviews erosion and sediment control, and I believe we did one recently for a church that was in your community, with Roger Black's church, so we helped out in that regard. So, yeah. So there wasn't a conflict of interest for him. We were happy to do that. We provide general support and technical assistance for any development or builder that's interested in learning more about that, including the low-impact development techniques. So if there's any development coming down the pipeline, we're always here to help in that regard as well. And one of the most important things I think we also do, and it's on the second to last page, I think, in your annual report, it shows a map of where all of our conservation easements are located. And you will see that there are 5, I believe, located in Fluviana County. One of the most recent ones that was completed was Houchins Place, which you all know. And it has a conservation easement, which is the green shaded area. And that area is protected for stormwater runoff. So instead of a developer having to go in and build a concrete basin, we believe this is a far more effective and more environmentally friendly, certainly for water quality purposes, for them to protect the surrounding land, which quantifies and equals the same volume of water that they would need if they had to build a concrete basin. So this helps protect our forests, it helps protect water quality, and it's traditionally more financially affordable than having to build those large concrete structures. Now, let's go back. Steve, I'm not sure if I think back. There we go. So out of the five conservation easements we have, this totals 360 acres of riparian forested buffer. And that's a big area for one county, I think. You all do have one of the larger number of conservation easements, and it's 6,000 linear feet of forested buffers along those streams. So any new developments, again, coming down the pipeline, it's, you know, we're always interested in meeting with those before they get too far in the planning process so that we can help talk with them about the benefits of that program. So we are one of your local partners in conservation. We work closely with some of the other groups who presented tonight as well. Certainly when it comes to water quality, we're always open to partnerships and your support. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
I've seen what you've done at one of our local farms. It's quite interesting. You tell them how the cows get their water. They walk up and push the
button. Oh, push the button. Yes, live cows. Yes.
And you're talking about how they fence off all the streams and they provide a well for them to water from rather than using the stream. And it also provides cover because those farmers most of the time will not bush hog between the fence and the stream. So it also provides cover for the wild.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's been one of our strongest programs. We've delivered $3 million in our entire district in the last 2 years. The governor's budget right now is $90 million slated for conservation districts specifically. Obviously, we don't know if that number's going to hold. We've been working off of about a $30 million budget. So if we're not at $90 million, if we're at $60 million, we think that we're going to be in for a really big year next year, the next 2 or 3 years. So gearing up, trying to make sure my staff is trained and has the technical, you know, skills they need, and you know, just sheer volume of work that we're going to have is going to be tremendous.
And I think that the Fluvanna County's, I don't know if it's all of the people interested in this program, but doesn't it end? You have to have your application in by the 31st of January. Is that right?
So that actually is for a specific course program that we have. The NRCS will often have some deadlines, but ours is typically a rolling application process. So the NRCS will often have certain funding pots or cycles where there will be deadlines. They're our federal partner, but for our cost share funding that we have from the state, that's an open enrollment.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And last but not least is OAR, Jefferson Area Community Corrections, Ross Carew.
Thank you. I appreciate staff. I had a PT, so I was late, so they let me come in at the end of the agenda, so I appreciate that. My name is Ross Carew. I'm the director of OAR, and I wanted to talk to you about some of the challenges around criminal justice for Fluvanna. So I just took a quick look at annual expected expenditures for corrections and detention for FY19, and it was $1.4 million. It's a pretty expensive item for Fluvanna County. It's one of your more expensive line items. The cost per inmate per day at the Central Virginia Regional Jail is a little less than $80 a day. The average length of incarceration for a misdemeanor is about 68 days. It means the average cost to incarcerate a misdemeanor is just under $5,500. The average pretrial detention is 109 days, costing about $8,678. The other challenge is 95% of all those incarcerated return to the community. And incarceration has been demonstrated to be the least effective and most expensive solution. And so the challenge for the locality is how to effectively and efficiently and affordably provide alternatives to incarceration that address community risk tolerance and risk management, hopefully reducing reoffending. And I think that's where OER comes in. And so we provide evidence-based alternatives to reduce the jail population. We're grounded in the latest research, evidence-based practices to effectively support public safety and reduce criminal justice costs. We ask for funding for two different programs. One is our misdemeanor probation program, and our request is about for $7,500. Our misdemeanor probation program provides for risk assessment, treatment intervention, supervision, court response. We had 139 on our caseload last year. The cost per client is $461 versus that $5,400 for incarceration. Our successful completion rate is 73%, and our three-year recidivism rate is 25%, where the national average is between 42% and 66%. We also ask for funding for our criminal justice planner. I believe Mr. Goodlove has been out and spoken to you a little bit of maybe about the jail stats, and I know that's one of his projects. So he's the staff to the Thomas Jefferson Area Community Criminal Justice Board. Fluvanna County has two representatives. It's Jeff Hayslip and Sherry Stater out of the Commonwealth Attorney's Office and the Victim Witness Program. And the purpose of the planner is to, as Mr. Goodlove says, crime travels. So we're finding out that, and I'm ballparking numbers here, but 50% of crime occurs from people who lived outside of your county. And that's occurring regionally. So it makes sense to have a regional approach to criminal justice alternatives. And so he provides coordination, research, analysis, and innovative practices. Funding is based on population, so the share is shared by the localities. Some of the ongoing examples for Fluvanna is crisis intervention teams for law enforcement. It's mental health training for law enforcement. Lethality assessment protocol, which is domestic violence assessments for victims at the scene of domestic violence calls. Also, he's doing an analysis of the link between mental health, the linkage between the jail and the community with mental health. So if people are identified at the jail, are they being linked at services once they're out? He's also done a jail analysis where he's doing trends, demographics, offenses, hopefully to forecast intervention priorities. The other thing that's sort of emerging here in Fluvanna is we're exploring the opportunity maybe potentially for a drug court for Fluvanna. I don't know if necessarily we have the need or the capacity to support it, and maybe there's some sharing that we can do. So we're exploring that as an option. Additionally, even though Fluvanna doesn't directly provide funding for, they do through jail funding. Our jail is a pass-through through our pretrial program. And what they do is they go into the jail when somebody's been arrested, and they provide investigation, risk assessment, and bond recommendations and supervision for folks who have been released prior to trial. We use a nationally based risk assessment model. The cost per client is $315, whereas if someone was incarcerated for that period of time, it would be $8,678. Success rate is 85%. We investigated 80 people for Fluvanna last year, and we supervised 73. We also have drug court for Charlottesville. We also provide reentry services. So we provide from the point of arrest all the way through reentry with the hopes of improving public safety. We truly see ourselves in partnership with Fluvanna County for public safety. And you all have all been a historic supporter of our program, and we just thank you for your continued support. I'd encourage you to look at our website. It's oar-jacc.org. Has all kinds of information, all kinds of resources, all the latest research. So if you're sort of a data nerd like I am, that's a place to go for that kind of stuff. Do you all have any questions? And I really apologize because I know when you look at the agenda, you're going, okay, next one, next one, next one. And then I know that you thought that you were getting to the end, and then they threw me on the end and kept you from dinner. So I apologize for that.
No, we weren't going until 6 o'clock.
You did.
Okay, you're good. Okay, I apologize. And I appreciate the flexibility for staff allowing me to do that.
If you brought snacks, there would be less to apologize for.
Does the governor who wants people who cannot pay their court case to be able to get a driver's license. That something that you all are involved in, support? I doubt if it will make it through the General Assembly.
We absolutely support that. There's a couple of, our reentry program works hopefully to help case manage someone through the challenges of the barriers. The barriers are paying your fines. There's also a foundation in Charlottesville, it's called the Fountain Fund, and they help provide some funds in order for people to do, to pay off their fines, costs, and restitution. We support, there's a lot of challenges when somebody is in the legal system, and the fines and costs are one of them, and making that system as efficient and easy to operate and navigate, let alone potentially provide some relief would be helpful. Mm-hmm. So we absolutely do support it. I don't know, I mean, a lot of the other states are doing it. I don't know if you've seen around the nation, there's a lot of governors that are forgiving court cost debt in order to allow folks to have their driver's license. I do know that there has been a lot of talk, and I think there is support for untying driver's license suspensions from offenses that have nothing to do with driving. And so I think there's some initiative for that. I don't know if it's this year, but there is initiative for it.
Right. And do your POs come to Fluvanna County? Because a lot of times our people can't get to Charlottesville.
Absolutely. We absolutely come. We're in Fluvanna Courthouse at least once a week.
I don't think people know that. I mean, you send letters. I think you have to let people know you're going to be there.
Yes, ma'am. Our officers schedule their own schedule, and they're working with the client to make whatever's, you know, folks. It may be more convenient to meet in Charlottesville. It may be more convenient to meet here. It may be more convenient to meet in our office in Orange, depending on where somebody lives. So what we're trying to do is...
I didn't know it was that kind of flexibility.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to meet people where they are, as opposed to telling people what to do.
You'd rather them get served.
No, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to
hold you to it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you so very much.
Thank you. And again, thank you for your accommodation.
You're very welcome. Thank you all. Mr. O'Brien.
Mr. Chair, I move the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1, Section 2.2-3711A6, Section 2.2-3711A7, Section 2.2-3711A8 of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purposes of discussing personnel, prospective industry, investment of funds, litigation, and legal matters.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We're now in closed session.
Morsel for dinner.
We're coming back.
Yes, sir.
You can blame me.
Morsel for
dinner. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna Board of County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Second.
Motion's made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Ms. Weaver? Aye. Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We will now reconvene for the regular meeting of the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, now we'll adopt the agenda for the meeting. Are there any recommended changes or other updates? Do I have a motion?
So may.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passed 5-0. Next, we'll have County Administrator's report.
Thank you,
A lengthy report, Mr. Chair.
You're fired.
Please.
Oh, I got a second.
No, but you still got to get three votes.
Exactly.
Come on, guys. Vote yes. The program, the Social Services Christmas Program, was a great success again this year. They matched 170 children and 30 seniors with sponsors and provided presents and support. Jane Wilson is their program coordinator, does that every year, does a great job. And then lots of thank yous out to the businesses, churches, and the individuals who helped with that program as they do each year. So a great reflection of the giving nature of Savannah citizens. Also, we're getting ready to kick off a couple of landlord-tenant rights and responsibilities and fair housing workshops. Well, we're going to do two of them at this time. One will be in February at the library and on a Saturday morning so that people can get to it. We'll do lots of advertising and flyers at the post offices and churches and things. But Saturday morning in February, and then a Thursday evening in March. And we'll do that at the community center in Fort Kennedy. And Marty Wainwright and Robin Leiter White are coming from the Central Virginia Legal Aid Society, and they do a really good brief. I've seen their products before, and it's a great way for landlords and for tenants to ask questions about their circumstances and find out what resources are available to them when they have potential problems with the landlord and or a tenant. And this was aimed at anyone in the community that has difficulties with their circumstances, but also specifically we've talked about this in the CARE task force before multiple times, and so we've got these set up. So Brad Robinson from our planning department got these set up with the folks, and so we'll kick these off with two. If they're very successful and they work out well, we may do this every year or every other year to do something. So one in the south central part of the county and one in the north central part of the county. And they'll be coming out with flyers, and you'll see that in your mailbox as well. And then just a reminder, it's budget season. Your next meeting kicks off formal budget season where you've got the budget presented to you on February 6th. And then essentially every week from then until mid-April, you've got either a board meeting or budget work sessions. And so just keep your calendar free on Wednesday nights for the next 2.5 months and should be okay. Now remember, this is a reassessment year. You just did a formal full reassessment, and because the reassessment, the value of the property will be more than 1% increase from what it was. Therefore, you have to establish an equalized rate, and you have to publish a maximum advertised rate, and you have to do it earlier in the season than you normally do in regular years. So that's why you're going to set a maximum real estate advertised tax rate at your February 27th meeting. But the good thing about that is you already will have had the schools. The schools used to not come until March, but you'll see them in February. And so you have a pretty good idea of where you're at on a variety of things before you set that maximum advertised rate.
Do you have any hint on the schools yet? Maybe whether they want like $1.5 million or whatever?
More than that.
More than that.
Did they have like $3 million or something like that?
Yeah, well, that's true. It depends on what their sources are requesting it from. We put a 750K wedge in there for right now. I don't know what it'll be by the time I actually present the budget, but we put a 750K wedge in there, and the schools are projected to get another 900K.
Yeah, 900K that's what you said today.
Right. So we'll see. I don't know. It really depends on what the legislature does. If they come out and say that they're doing a 3% for SOQ positions, well, then you got to find the money for all the other positions that aren't SOQ if you want to match that and pay that. So we'll see. We'll have a pretty good idea before the February 20th meeting, because the school board will adopt their preliminary budget the week before they present to you. Any questions or information for the board?
No, sir. Thank you very much. We'll now open the first round of public comments. Anyone wish to address the board? Should come to the podium, state your name and address, keep your comments to 5 minutes, and direct it to the board. Does anyone wish to speak at this time? Seeing none, I'll now close the first round of public comments. We have no public hearings on the docket. We have no action matters. We have no appointments. We have no presentations, and that brings us down to the consent agenda. A, minutes of December 19th, 2018. B, minutes of January 9th, 2018, the first one, 2019, the second one. C, accounts payable report, December 2018. D, Economic Development Coordinator Position Description Reclassification, Ms. Rice. E, Sheriff's Office Vehicle Insurance Claim, Mr. Posey. F, Blue Van County Public Schools Supplemental Appropriation, Ms. Gillen. G, FY19 Fort Union Light Pole Insurance Claim, Mr. Foley. H, ZXR Project Agreement Number 12, Dewberry, Mr. Dahl. I, ZXR Project Agreement Number 13, Dewberry, Mr. Dahl. J, ZXR Project Agreement Number 14, Dewberry, Mr. Dahl. K, ZXR Project Agreement Number 15, Dewberry, Mr. Dahl. And L, ZXR Project Agreement Number 16, Dewberry and Mr. Dahl. Is there anything we need to pull?
You don't need to pull the C.
Yes, sir.
We had talked about where the expenses were going with Louisa and Heron splitting that cost.
Oh, good question, sir.
And that is on C. You might just mention, you said you would bring it up to the board.
So, Mr. Weaver asked a good question today during some budget meetings. The James River Water Authority is a 50-50 proposition between the two counties. So there's costs attributable to the JRWA project, and half of that cost goes to each county. Now, there's not a lot of costs right now other than the debt service that's taken out because we're not constructing yet, and there's no operations costs. But there are costs, like Eric's office manages the finances for JRWA. They're the fiscal agent, and we're designated that when the first agreement was done a number of years back. So Fluvanna County is the fiscal agent. Fluvanna County is also the official address for the JRWA, so we collect mail and collect bills and do all that stuff and process it here. And Mr. Weaver's point was, well, is there costs that we should attribute to that, and should the JRWA be paying for part of that? And at this point, no. And the reason is because Louisa does their share as well. They take all the minutes for the meetings, they post the minutes, they produce the agendas for the meetings, they do the recordings, they do the paperwork side of it. And so we do a little bit of the finance side now, they do a little bit on the paperwork side now. Eventually, when there's actually operations costs, it will be a 50-50 split, but it'll be our contributions into the JRWA pot, along with Louisa's contributions into the pot, that pays for those things. And so, but right now, it's really just kind of in-kind support from both counties, and it's pretty equal. So,
you understand, it shows the lawyer cost and all that. The money that he does for that is separated as such. So I thought it'd be well.
Right, it's important. It is listed in your AP report because all the bills for the JRWA flow through Munis, because we use Munis as the accounting system because we are the fiscal agent. And the JRWA board agreed to that 2 years ago, I think. We used to use Quicken, and we still have that in place until this June 30th. Then Quicken will go away. We'll be fully on Munis. There wasn't a need for Munis early on with JRWA. And there isn't much of a need now, but it is going to be the official accounting system as we move forward. So it's in there, and so you'll see it in your reports. Again, those bills are not paid by you, per se. They're paid by the JRWA. You contribute your 50%. Louisa contributes their 50%, and then pay it. And the treasurer is the one, the treasurer of the JRWA is the one that actually pays those bills.
Okay. Anyone else? Anything?
I had a couple questions on Tab C, accounts payable.
Sure.
The number 388, Darren Badge T-shirts. Can you tell me what that was for?
Which one is it, ma'am?
It sounds like that's a sheriff thing that says there.
Yeah.
That's a sheriff. Might be able to answer it real quick.
Sure.
It's part of the community education for Darren and the schools and upon graduation, those classes, we give them a really nice T-shirt, which I'll bring one here and show y'all, and then they wear it to school, and it kind of empowers what they've learned. And tell her
what they learned.
Yeah, it's the DARE is all about the drug education, and we do it for the fourth graders. And halfway through, we do a little cupcake thing. We go in during lunch and sit down with them, talk to the kids, and give them cupcakes, and enjoy some time with them. We go to the classrooms there now. And then hang out with them when they're doing the DARE program. And it's very, very well received with the kids. And hopefully we'll see that pay off mm-hmm. by the time.
I said we had the DARE program for years, and then it disappeared.
The school took
really
it over.
Good that we brought it back.
Yes, ma'am. This is the second year. So, yeah, we're very excited about that program. And Matter of fact, we went last year and participated the same program basically, and a little with some other programs with FUMA, and they've asked us today to come back and participate with all of their cadets there too. So,
that's great. Thanks. Okay. Another question for you on the vehicle.
Yes, ma'am.
Number 854 was $23,500, and then in tab E, we had money come back to us from the insurance company for the wrecked car.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that you replaced that with that?
Yes, ma'am. What I asked to do is to go ahead and put that money into the CIP, because that's where we get our vehicles from,
right.
And then that way better manage that money as to what we can replace it. We're not going to be able to replace it with that four-wheel drive vehicle, because they've gone up considerably. Mm-hmm. But by the time we go back to the all-wheel drive Charger, which is turning out to be our main fleet vehicle for right now, we've had excellent results with that in the snow, last couple snows we've had. So that's going to be our base vehicle, because it comes in at under $24,000 right now. And, you know, going to the SUV 28-29. So I think you'll be pleased that we get done this year. And I know when y'all gave us the money in the CIP, I told you I was going to manage that well, and we have done a great job. And unfortunately, we had this accident, but it's not going to hurt us too bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And my last question was number 833, machinery for the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
What did they buy?
It's the list of stuff that they gave you a couple months ago. We got that list.
Freezer, dishwasher,
right?
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yes. I think they got the freezer, the dishwasher, the ice maker, and the microwave.
Everything they needed to finish it
out. That was a carryover that got approved from the end of the year.
Yeah, that's the
point. Okay, so now that kitchen is ready to be.
Well, they have to be installed, and then we have to get our certifications. But yes, we're almost there.
Okay.
They're going to make money and return it back to the county.
That's all my questions. Thank you.
That's the story, sir.
Yes, that's the story.
And I'm sticking to it.
We're sticking to it, too.
Well, Ms. Eager has a commercial kitchen she can use now.
For yeah, yes. There you go.
Listen, I'm on Biggest Loser. Stop talking about her cooking with us.
She'll quit bringing in stuff here, right?
Oh, exactly. All right. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Okay. Yeah.
You go ahead and do it, Don.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the consent agenda from item A down through L as formally presented.
Second.
Plus the AP number, Mr. Weaver, please.
Plus the AP number.
Yep, you can.
Yeah. Excuse me. Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Didn't get that.
Is there a number?
Do we need to read it?
We'll put it in the motion.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay.
All righty.
It's in the package.
So all right, got a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Is there any unfinished business?
Yeah, I know in our board packet, when I read my board packet, we always have our strategic plan all laid out. When do we go through that plan?
We are very behind, and it's really just trying to find who's going to take that over and do the stuff. And because we're kind of in between some staff members, we just haven't been doing much.
Right, and that plan ends anyway at the end of this year.
The end of 19. You'll be substantively through much of that by the end of 19, but you'll meet again in January of 2020 to create a new two-year plan.
Right. Uh-huh.
But as soon as I can get somebody to do the report to you, we will get you an updated report and update the status on all those items, because they shouldn't be left like that. We're just in between staffers.
Yeah.
Under new business, I think we all saw Rudy Garcia's email about the Airbnbs and the money that Greene County has made doing that. Mm-hmm. He said, do you want to reopen that and talk about that and do something
about the agenda?
I mean, they've made a 5% occupancy tax in Greene County, and of that, it's about $55,000. Increased income to their county for something that's going on here now anyway.
Yeah.
Sure.
I just say leave people alone. You know, we're always looking tax more, get more here. And, you know, the problem isn't really that we're getting enough taxes. The problem is we're spending too much. So, you know, I read that too and I thought about that. It is never end. any end of government wants to stick their nose into this stuff. Always something else. I'm sorry, that's the way I feel about it.
It's okay.
Okay, we had three people say that they'd like to do that.
So okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, we'll put it on your agenda for budget season.
All right. You can wait till after budget season if you like.
It's going to be a tough budget.
Yeah.
Well, it will be, but also there will be timing on things to do that. And if you put it off till after budget season, you may then be deferred for another full year. So we'll check the law with Fred's office to find out when you would have to adopt something and when it would go into effect. Oftentimes, if you adopt it, it doesn't go into effect for the following January 1st, but sometimes it may be the following fiscal year. I don't know what to see.
Okay.
So.
Well, we might be able to just pick a date. We want to make it effective.
Could be.
October 1.
Yeah,
Mr. Weaver, that tax is usually just passed through directly to the person who's actually renting the place. Most of those people would be from outside.
But it's still paperwork.
It's still paperwork, but it's not
a It's just, you know, we're always looking for another dollar. And after you hear it long enough, as long as I've heard it for all these years, you get tired of it.
These dollars are from outside residents. I'll take all of those dollars that we get.
It's just... any place you go anymore. It's the same stuff.
It's true. But
that's right.
Every time you go and eat somewhere else, we give them more money, so it's nice to get some of it back.
All right. So we're done with new business. I will now open the second round of public comment. Anyone wishing to speak to the board at this time, approach the podium and keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Does anyone wish to speak at this time?
Say something about Airbnb.
Now close second round of public comment.
Just a reminder about your Airbnb. You did authorize that as a by right in all districts. So I'm just telling you that. Now, that doesn't mean, especially for Mr. O'Brien, that doesn't mean you can do anything in Lake Monticello. An HOA supersedes that rule. Yeah. It's by right, but an HOA can set for their areas. So if the Lake Monticello board sets HOA rules that you can't have at the lake, you can't tell them they have.
Right.
So.
Right. They actually have those rules.
Right, they do.
Okay, Mr. O'Brien.
Mr. Chair, I move the Vanna County Board's revised movement to enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1, Section 2.2-3711A5, Section 2.2-3711A6, Section 2.2-3711A7, Section 2.2-3711A8. of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purposes of discussing personnel, respective industry, investments of funds, litigation, and legal matters.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, second by Mr. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We're now in closed session.
Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Savannah County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from the open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended, and two, only such public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Second. Motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. Ms. Eager?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien?
Aye.
Ms. Booker?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn. And
second. Somebody second. Motion made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
I adjourned it and opposed. I seconded it.
Chair votes aye.
Aye.
Motion passed 5-0.